WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The University of Michigan has just released its latest consumer sentiment index, revealing an unexpected stability in consumer confidence. As a CBS News poll on inflation and income shows, a majority of Americans are struggling to make ends meet. Director of Elections and Surveys, Anthony Silvanto.
75% saying that their income is still not keeping up with inflation.
It's Elon Musk's last day with Doge.
President Donald Trump on social media posted, "Musk will always be with us, helping all the way."
That's CBS's Jared Hill. KCBS's Mike DeWald reports on a transgender woman taking part in a high school sporting event in California that's causing controversy.
The debate centers around A.B. Hernandez, a transgender woman competing in track and field at the CIF state championship this weekend. The DOJ launching an investigation and President Trump threatening to withhold federal funding over California's eligibility rules.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson hinted that he may not run for another term when his current term ends in 2028. In an interview with The Hill on Tuesday, Senator Johnson referred to himself as just a guy from Oshkosh trying to save this country. Senator Johnson narrowly retained his seat in the 2022 election, edging out Mandela Barnes. President Donald Trump is the only Republican to win on a statewide ballot since then. Senator Johnson is currently pushing back against the budget bill passed in the House, saying it doesn't reduce spending enough. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has announced another new multi-state lawsuit against the Trump administration. According to a press release from the Wisconsin Department of Justice, the new lawsuit seeks to stop the Trump administration from reducing funding for scientific research in the state, specifically at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and Milwaukee. It requests a court order blocking two National Science Foundation orders that paused multiple projects and would leave the universities unable to pay for research materials. A U.S. Geological Survey field office in Rice Lake is set to close next year as a result of cuts made by the Department of Government Efficiency. The office is operated by the agency's Upper Midwest Water Science Center, which operates thousands of stream gauges to gather water quality data. USGS staff says closing the office could make it more difficult to collect quality data in the state, in turn making it more difficult for government agencies to make water-related policy decisions. The Rice Lake office is also responsible for repairing many of the stream gauges. The Wisconsin Elections Commission has ruled that small communities do not need permission from the state to stop using electronic voting machines. The decision stems from a lawsuit filed against the town of Thornapple in Rusk County, alleging the town broke state law when it switched from electronic voting machines to hand-counted paper ballots in the April and August elections last year. The decision was 5-1, with Wisconsin Election Commission Chair Ann Jacobs disagreeing with the analysis that found the municipalities don't need the state's permission. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Badgers Hall of Fame. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The University of Wisconsin announcing 12 new inductees into the Badgers Athletic Hall of Fame, including NFL running back James White, announcer Matt LePay, and basketball player Frank Kaminsky, who led the Badgers to back-to-back appearances in the Final Four.
You know, my 4 years here, I just really wanted to maximize my opportunity. You know, I felt really lucky to be able to have a scholarship to come here in the first place because I wasn't highly recruited. I mean, it's just like you get overcome with this, like, emotion that you can't really describe. Like, I love here. I love Wisconsin. I love the school. I love being back on campus.
NFL Packers OTA practices continue in Green Bay. The team adding another receiver to the roster, Sam Brown Jr. from the Miami Hurricanes. Baseball, Brewers open a 3-game series on the road tonight against the Phillies after a much-needed day off yesterday. Trevor McGill.
Workload's been a lot, and it's just kind of what we needed to do to keep the wins going. So, yeah, just out there for the boys.
That's Brewers pitcher Trevor McGill with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Borbens. Mostly sunny skies today and breezy, warm as well. You might also notice some hints of smoke due to those Canadian wildfires. High temperatures right around 80. Mostly clear skies tonight with lows in the mid-50s. Right now, it's 64 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees, I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll see what's happening in the state capitol, the Joint Finance Committee, in terms of our tax dollars, and what's worse, handshake or fist bump. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. .5 The Tap.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10:30 news is a segment we call Audio Sorbet, where we try and lighten things up just a little bit. Get away from the news. A cleansing for the ears, as it were. We're going to talk about things that make you happy. Mm-hmm. Little bits of joy.
Nuggets of joy.
Little joy nuggets.
Joy nuggets.
I love that. Joy nuggets. So we're going to take your calls and your texts and your messages, and you can leave a voice note if you want to do that right now and send it to us via the app. So that's coming up after 10:30, and of course, we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it is the Get Off My Lawn edition with a great visual element that you're going to want to check out as well. He joins us every Friday at this time, Civic Media's political editor and the founder of the multi award-winning Recombobulation Area. Dan Schaefer is here. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, Jane. Great to be with you here in Racine to recombobulate on a Friday.
Where shall we start? Where shall we start with? Ron Johnson was not on Fox News. Well, he was this week, but he was also in Wisconsin.
He has had quite the media tour this week. Our senior senator,
yes,
here in Wisconsin has had. He did a very long podcast with Tucker Carlson, though, a two-hour podcast. Now, I did not listen and watched that one for you, but I did watch his hour-long interview, Newsmaker Luncheon, presented by the Milwaukee Press Club,
right,
and WisPolitics. He also had an appearance at the Medical College of Wisconsin, which I think a number of the hosts here on the Civic Media Network have been talking about. But
yes,
I watched the Press Club interview, so you don't have to.
This is why you make the big money, Dan.
That's
Schaefer.
Right. That's
Can
right.
I give you an award for just being a hero right now?
Well, you know, it's a sacrifice I'm willing to make to bring you great radio here on Matinair on Air.
It was a long hour.
It was a long hour. Yeah, it was a long hour. Ron had a lot of things to say. You know, a lot of questions from the panelists, from the Milwaukee TV journalists that were hosting that one. Charles Benson, Emily Fannin, and Matt Smith. And then a number of questions from the audience as well. And so some interesting back and forths in that and some interesting talks. But I think the big picture of what I want to get to with this discussion of Ron Johnson is that I think he is one of the most important people in America right now. And I know that is frightening to hear because, you know, we talk about Ron Johnson a lot on this show. About Ron Johnson a lot here. There's a lot we criticize him for. But in these discussions about the big, beautiful bill, he has been the face of Republican Senate Republican opposition.
He is
this.
The resistance.
He is. Well, it is. And it's funny because there are different senators who have like different things that they disagree with about this. Josh Hawley from Missouri has talked about we don't want big cuts to Medicaid because exactly. there are a lot of constituents that I have in Missouri who are on Medicaid. Ron Johnson is taking a different approach.
Oh, considerably.
Considerably different yeah. approach. He thinks this bill does not cut enough. And, you know, over and over again, I mean, we've been following Ron Johnson as a senator in Wisconsin for 15 years now. He was elected in 2010. And it's crazy to think that he's been in our lives for that long. But one thing about him has been very consistent, and that he has wanted to talk about the debt
yep.
and the deficit and the spending and all of that. And that has been his main issue. There was actually one point with questioners, Dan Bice from the Journal Sentinel, who was not a panelist, but asked a question when it opened up. He asked, like, you came into office saying that you wanted to get rid of Obamacare and rein in spending. Neither of those things have happened. Do you consider your time a failure? And so it was like there was a little bit of an interesting back and forth there. But I think the big picture, though, is that he in so many ways wants to address spending, but only through cuts.
Yes.
He talks about it always as a spending problem. Government has a spending problem. This is a spending problem. We're spending too much here. Spending, spending, spending. He never talks about the other side of the ledger. He's like, oh, I'm a numbers guy. I do all these things, blah, blah, blah. He never talks about the other side. And I don't think government has a spending problem the way he characterizes it. I think we should be spending on things like Medicaid. We should be spending on things like Obamacare. Yes, we need to tighten these things up and make them work more efficiently and all of those different things. Yes. But the problem, and I think most Americans would actually agree with this, is that we have a revenue problem because we don't tax millionaires and billionaires the way we mm-hmm. should in this country.
And corporations.
And corporations. Yeah. And so when he talks about reining in spending, we have and we need to address the deficit, we need to do all of these things. Well, he is a cause of this in many ways,
yes.
because in 2017, he yes. was also in the same type of position where he was taking an opposition, you know, inter-party opposition stance on the Trump tax cut bill. And he fought for, you know, a measure in that bill that extended business tax cuts to pass-through entities.
Pass-throughs, yes.
Not so coincidentally applied to his largest donors.
Huh,
to the tune really? Of hundreds of millions of dollars in tax breaks yeah. in a single year, not to mention just like the, you know, what is it, 8-9 years since then. So I think he is in a similar position now that he is in 2017. I was a little frustrated people didn't really talk about what he did in 2017. But I think he is in this remarkably important position again now. And he is taking the approach, not that we need to shore up Medicaid, not that we need to make sure of things, not that we need to raise taxes on billionaires, which I think, you know, like the Steve Bannon wing of the MAGA party has talked about wanting to do. But he has so dug in on this same Tea Party. He also talked about how he's more of a Tea Party
yeah.
Person than a Republican, than a member of the Republican Party. And he's just the only thing he cares about is cutting spending. And he doesn't characterize it as I'm going to cut Medicaid. He's just like, oh, we're just going to fix it. He doesn't talk about it as a cut. He talks about it as a fix.
Of course.
But and again, that same issue always comes back for him. He exploded the deficit with his addition to the tax bill and then is saying that we have the biggest problem that we have is the deficit yeah. and the debt, which he himself exploded.
Well, and the other thing that makes me crazy is when President Biden increased funding for the IRS so they could get more agents to specifically audit wealthy Americans, mm-hmm. they brought in well over $1 billion.
Yes.
Within the first year, and now they have cut that funding for those IRS agents, which seems completely counterproductive to me.
And mm-hmm. to be clear on that, it was not just going in and knocking on the doors of billionaires and millionaires and saying, you're going to pay your taxes. Now, these were people who were cheating the system.
Yes.
Who have cheated the system. Some people tried to frame it as, oh, auto workers and waitresses are getting audited. But no, they're not. These are millionaires and billionaires. And yes, it brought in over $1 billion. Pure profit for the government.
Yep.
And I think one of the things, you know, you talk about, Dan, with regard to 2017 not getting the attention it deserves. I think what he's done now since then in his second and now his third, which he has dedicated to the vaccine injured, of course, because he's a hero. He now covers up those, I don't want to say crimes, but those
favors.
Those things he's done to the American people, he covers them up now with conspiracy theory, rhetoric, and misinformation and redirection. I mean, at the Milwaukee Press Club, the clip that they were putting on the Journal Sentinel was him talking about Biden not being mentally acute, the mental acuity of Joe Biden. I'm like, why is no one standing up saying, why do you need more money? Why do you need more money? And what, like, when I'm agreeing with Josh Hawley because he doesn't want to cut Medicaid, and Ron Johnson's like, no, I want to cut it more because I don't care about these people. Poor people do not matter to me.
It's he's had a few other comments on poor people.
Yes, I've heard that too.
In his comment from the Medical College of Wisconsin, saying that he, I believe the quote was, I've never seen a poor person create a job.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, and there was other things from that medical college interview that I'm still parsing. There's been a lot of Ron Johnson content to consume this week. But I will say that, you know, when he talks about these different things, there is like a talk radio brain, a conservative talk radio brain that always seeps through with what he says. And he's like, oh, I'm not trying to cut Medicaid. I'm trying to fix Medicaid. I'm not trying to, you know, cut Obamacare. I'm trying to fix Obamacare.
Right.
Well, the result is the same thing. Mm-hmm. Well, the result is that you are going to cut Medicaid and it is going to impact people and lives are going to be damaged.
Well, and the other thing, the other way that they're phrasing it now is we're going to save Medicaid.
Right.
We are saving Medicaid for people who truly deserve it. But the other thing that makes me crazy.
Half of the people on Medicaid in Wisconsin are children.
I know. And that's what makes me crazy is they come out with this claim that we know intuitively that people are cheating the system.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's not proof.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing something intuitively is great, then back it up with proof. That goes back to Elon finding fraud and abuse. Well, fraud is a crime. If you have found all these instances of fraud, why are people not being held accountable and they're not showing up in court for this? This should be these are crimes that should be charged.
And to the extent that there is fraud, like there's been some terrific reporting from Mary Spicuzza at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about people who are committing Medicaid fraud in Milwaukee. And I would encourage people to read those reports. But the broad based type of fraud that he's suggesting that is like the cause of trillions and trillions of dollars and we could cut the federal budget by trillions of dollars. Like there was so much effusive praise that Ron Johnson levied towards Elon Musk and the Doge effort. Which, if you read anything about what it's actually done, it hasn't actually touched anything.
Yep.
It hasn't codified any of the cuts that they've wanted to, that Republicans have wanted to do. It's been a failed effort, and Ron Johnson is just out there saying he wants more Doge, basically.
Right.
More Doge, more of
deeper
this.
Cuts. Well, yes. Deeper cuts.
And you have Ted Cruz, like, begging and pleading, people, just be nice to Elon for all. He didn't take a dime from the government. Really? He hasn't taken a dime from the government since
that's
his time
laughable.
In the
government. That is laughable.
It is just it is the fact that people who refuse to be informed or don't have time to be as engrossed in the news as we are, they hear things and like, oh, that sounds fine to me. Like Elon seems like a good guy. He seems like a good guy. And when we try to say, no, these are lies, people are like, well, how do you know they're lies? It's just it's screaming into a vacuum sometimes. And it's so frustrating because like just before they made up reports for the MAHA thing. And she's like, it's formatting. Don't worry. What?
Nothing to see here. Formatting mistakes. Not that the studies didn't actually exist. It's insane.
But at the end of the day, I think we really need to be paying attention to all of these things that Ron Johnson is saying. Because I think what he is among a list of like four or five senators who could realistically kill this bill. And if he doesn't get what he wants out of this, and I don't really understand what he wants, like they'll ask him these questions and it's just like, oh, I need to fix Medicaid and blah, blah, blah.
So he has no
and
specifics.
No specifics. And I think it just comes down to he wants to cut government. And this is the same thing that Republicans do over and over again. It's the same thing that Doge was. It's the same thing that the Tea Party was. You go back through all of these things. It is talking about efficiency and reining in government. But the real goal at the end of the day is cutting tax cuts for the wealthy. It's cutting taxes for the wealthy
and maybe
over and over again.
Yes.
It is this Trojan horse of efficiency and streamlining and cutting government to
benefit the wealthy
and punish the poor.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area. He is also Civic Media's political editor. When we return, 794, what should happen to that stretch of roadway? We'll kick that around on the way next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
All across Wisconsin, destination marketing organizations are working to ensure that tourism in our state and your local community is stronger than ever. Because when you travel in Wisconsin, you see what our beautiful state has to offer. And now, more than ever, you see the importance of the travel and tourism industry and the impact it has on our community's small businesses, infrastructure, and economy. Destination marketing organizations statewide are working diligently to generate the economic benefits tourism has to offer and ensure that tourism in Wisconsin recovers better than ever. Their work to drive visitation, book meetings and conventions, and enhance the visitor experience not only encourages travelers to discover Wisconsin, it bolsters the economy, supports jobs, and it improves the quality of life for all Wisconsin residents. And you can do your part just by exploring Wisconsin yourselves or supporting your local destination marketing organization directly. To learn more about what Wisconsin's destination marketing organizations are doing, visit DestinationsWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us, call or text, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our statewide text to win free ticket Friday is underway. Grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app, and text in the word SWING. SWING. The word to text in by 11 o'clock is SWING, SWING, playing for a four-pack of tickets, club-level seats, when the Brewers host San Diego on Saturday, June 7th. You will have a new word with Tom Hartman from 11 to 2, then with Todd from 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. But right now, the word to text in via the Civic Media app is SWING, SWING. And good luck to Julie in Oshkosh and Tom from Jackson and William in Oshkosh and Sharky in Racine. Keep those entries coming in our statewide text to win contest. Dan Schaefer is here, our friend and colleague, Civic Media's political editor and creator of the Recombobulation area. In the time we have left before the 10:30 news, Dan, let's talk a little bit about 794. There's an article today in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about the future of 794.
Yeah, there was a public update meeting big, exciting public update meeting.
But there's a lot of folks who are interested in this.
Absolutely. This is a big project. This is a big conversation about what's happening in downtown Milwaukee. So I'll quickly just zoom out and talk about what exactly this little stretch of highway is.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm doing this just mostly for Greg. So 790, the part of 794 that is part of this conversation is between the Marquette Interchange and the lakefront.
Okay.
So the connection from the Marquette Interchange to the Hone Bridge, essentially. So it is not the stretch of 794 from the Hone Bridge south into Milwaukee County.
Okay.
It doesn't touch the Hone Bridge at all. It is the connections between the Hone Bridge and the Marquette Interchange. And so a few years ago, the Wisconsin Department of Transportation identified that this stretch of freeway needed to be rebuilt in some capacity. And they said rebuilding it in the current footprint it is, in the exact same configuration that it is, would cost $300 million.
Wow.
So this project is happening one way or another.
They're going to do something
Something needs to happen with this stretch of freeway. The conversation is, should we do something very different, slightly different, or exactly the same? And so the options that the Wisconsin Department of Transportation presented at this meeting last night included four options. One was a rebuild in kind. The exact same configuration would be about $300 million. Those costs have probably gone up in the 4 years or so since they initially put that forward. Another one would be kind of a slimmed down version of it, maybe fewer on and off ramps in between. I know there's a number now like a Jackson and Van Buren and things like that at St. Paul that you kind of go through in that stretch of freeway between the Marquette Interchange and the Hone Bridge. And the other option would be to tear that section of highway down so that the Hone Bridge, instead of connecting through, it would essentially end at downtown.
794 would end.
794 would end at where the Hone Bridge ends on the Milwaukee lakefront instead of connecting all the way through.
Okay.
The idea here is that if you are, you know, driving through the Marquette Interchange, you're going to use 43 instead for the majority of the time.
To go south, to
connect through the Marquette Interchange. And by removing this stretch of freeway, you open up some of the most valuable land for development in the state of Wisconsin.
You're so close to the lake.
You're right between, you know, kind of the downtown central business district and the Third Ward. Milwaukee has a housing and affordability crisis that is getting worse and worse. You'd be able to develop that part of land to bring more housing to people, to bring more options for, you know, just like affordable housing, all sorts of different types of things, transit connections, walkability connections, all of that. And so I have, you know, a long advocated for saying that, yes, we should tear down this little stretch of freeway to open up the development for downtown, because I just don't think the best use of that type of real estate is for a freeway to be blasting through downtown. I think it is, you know, obviously we need freeways, we need interstates, but they should be going to cities, not through cities.
I don't disagree with that. And my big thing is whenever I hear people talk about, whenever people talk about getting rid of something in favor of affordable housing or more housing, especially down in that area, I'm skeptical because I see very, very expensive land.
Yes.
That's going to be developed into high-rise apartments,
expensive apartments.
Or if someone can put a house down there, I'm not saying I don't want this to happen, but what I'm saying is I do not see in any scenario where they're going to put a stitch of housing where regular folks can afford to live. It's going to be, hey, do you need a third apartment, Chicagoans?
Yeah.
Come to Milwaukee. We've got more coming. You know, so like, I wish there was a commitment, if this was the case, a commitment to making good affordable housing in this section.
I agree. And I think that should be part of the plan. But also it's just a supply and demand thing, too. We just need more new housing in Milwaukee. There's a lot of housing in Milwaukee. There's a lot of people who are not going to live in a 120-year-old house on the west side of Milwaukee I do. Like some people want something a little bit newer.
Right.
They don't have to deal with the problems of that.
Right.
But now, zooming out again, here's the rub with this 794 debate, and we've already been having it for several years. The plan that was put forth in these boards that were at this meeting last night said that right now, 2025 is we're exploring the alternatives. 2027 is when the environmental review would be done. And 2030 is when the final design and construction is going to happen. This is the problem with this and so many other government progress. We can't get anything done. And so we've already should have made a decision on 794 by now. I wrote a long piece on this 2 years ago. Why are we still debating this? Make a decision and go forward. We can't debate this for another 5 years.
Well, it's going to be 2035 before anything gets done. Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. News coming up next.
I need you to recombobulate me.
This is 93.5 The Tap. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Following the annual spring hearings hosted by the Wisconsin Conservation Congress and Department of Natural Resources, officials say there is a great deal of support for starting the trout fishing season earlier. Over 9,000 residents provided input on 43 proposed changes to fish and wildlife management in the state during the spring hearings. Among the potential changes was a proposal to move the start of trout season from early May to the first Saturday in April. The goal would be to give anglers more opportunities to get out on the water. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is calling on residents to help track bat population trends over the summer. The state's cave bats will be returning to their summer roosts over the next few weeks, which could include places like barns or bat houses. DNR officials are asking residents to track the number of bats they see emerging on one night between June 6th and June 8th, and one night between July 18th and July 20th as part of the Great Wisconsin Bat Count. The bats should emerge just after sunset, and counting typically takes about half an hour. Eau Claire County officials are warning residents of an ongoing invoice scam that falsely appears to be from the Eau Claire County Planning and Development Department. According to a press release, the scammers have been sending area residents and businesses fraudulent invoice emails requesting payment for planning or development-related services. The invoice claims to be from a man named Matt Michels requesting payments for unspecified or fabricated services. Any residents who receive the invoice should report it to the county. The city of Eau Claire is seeking input from residents on its five-year capital improvement plan. A pair of public hearings will be held on the proposal on June 9th and June 23rd, which includes over $260 million in projects over the next 5 years. Nearly $50 million of that funding is planned for projects in 2026. Among the projects included in the capital improvement plan are the remodel or construction of a new fire station and early plans for the parking structure across from City Hall in downtown Eau Claire. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Some people seem to forget that the Me Too movement was supposed to change things for the better. According to a new lawsuit being filed, Kevin Costner is not one of them. A 34-year-old female stunt performer on Costner's bomb, Horizon, an American Saga Chapter 2, alleges she was a victim of sexual discrimination, harassment, and the creation of a hostile work environment, according to the New York Post. Costner and his legal team are denying all allegations and probably trying to forget that the movie even exists. Costner and his legal team are denying all allegations and probably trying to forget that this clunker of a movie even exists. In reboots that don't need to happen, especially for shows that ran too long in the first place news, Duck Dynasty is coming back. I know what you're thinking. Oh, joy. The Robertson family are the marketing geniuses who pretended to be hillbillies to get actual hillbilly viewers. Duck Dynasty The Revival premieres June 1st on A&E and is already renewed for a season 2. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Areas of wildfire smoke drifting in today from a northwest breeze gusting around 25 miles per hour, prompting an air quality alert. Otherwise, it's partly sunny today with high temperatures scraping about 80. Patchy smoke may still linger tomorrow, and it'll still be warm. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees, I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
This week on the Rational Revolution, we've got Devin Remicker. He's running for chairman of the Wisconsin Democratic Party.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our statewide text to win free ticket Friday is underway. Grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app, and text the word swing, S-W-I-N-G. You can't play, Dan.
You can't play, Dan.
Text in the word swing, S-W-I-N-G, by 11 o'clock, and you are in the running for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers tickets, club-level seats, when they host San Diego on Saturday, June 7th. The tickets are not exchangeable, so just keep that in mind. But text in the word swing via the Civic Media app, S-W-I-N-G, until 11 o'clock. Tom Hartman will have a different word for you from 11 to 2. Todd Alba with a new one, 2 to 4, and then Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. One other thing we wanted to mention, go to civicmedia.us. Mm-hmm. Perhaps you're looking for a new stylish t-shirt you want to wear for the summer.
Yeah.
We have Civic Media merch. You can buy a t-shirt. You can buy a hat. And there may soon be new merch.
Many people are saying.
Some people are saying there could be new Matt Nair on Air merch.
Yeah. Ooh. I know.
Coming to the website soon. Ooh. I know. We're very excited. That's the rumor.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll let you know if and when that actually happens. But text in the word swing, S-W-I-N-G. Dan Schaefer is here. He's Civic Media's political editor and also the founder of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area, and gracious enough to stick around for our silly segment that we call Audio Sorbet.
Where I love we try Audio to Sorbet.
Lighten things up a little bit. Take
I
a
love
breath.
Audio Sorbet.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's a good cleanser for the brain.
Yeah, even just hearing those little notes
that
you play
makes you feel
here.
A little bit better.
Mm-hmm. You can just wash off the rest of the nonsense.
I'm telling you right now, I'm going to get Audio Sorbet robes. I just want to like just wonderful,
just lounge,
comfy, yes,
lounge around,
just
in
like
it?
Loungewear, mm-hmm. robes, you know,
slippers.
Yeah, yeah.
Just say AS Audio Sorbet.
I love that. So we're taking your calls and your texts and your voice notes if you want to do
that. Yes, please send a voice note
on where you find your little bits of joy. Where are you finding your joy these days? And we're just talking about little things, mm-hmm. not great big momentous things. Like Mary from Tosta texted in. Real early in the show, Mary says, my joy every day are heartwarming animal and wildlife videos on what used to be Twitter. It's actually addicting, so I have to contain it. Mary from Tosa. Mary, check out We Rate Dogs.
Yes. Yeah.
We Rate Dogs, all one word. They have the top 5 dogs of the week. Greg and I watch it before the show every Friday. It's fantastic. And it makes you happy. It's one of those little things for a brief moment in time. You can forget other stuff and just feel a little happy.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Dan, you are here today.
I am here today.
Where are you finding your joy? Where do you find your nuggets of joy?
Well, you know, I'm a girl dad. So
you are.
My joy comes from my daughters and so often, and just got to spend a few extra, some extra time with them over a long weekend. We went to go visit my sister who lives in New Mexico.
Oh, nice.
And so, you know, we had a great time there. And my daughters, just like my two daughters, they're very different. And so that brings me different kinds of joy. My oldest daughter is you know, very smart and kind of a rule follower, and she just wants to learn everything, very curious. And my youngest daughter is just like a tornado of like nonsense all of the time. Like, I've joked with you, Jane, that she's just like, you know, like a Chris Farley personality in a 4-year-old girl who likes to wear sparkly clothes.
That is so, like, funny. It's
just like her. She has like a natural comedic delivery on things.
That's
so
awesome.
I find my joy from my girls most of the time. Yes.
When you had your recombobulation area appreciation event a couple weeks ago, you were there, and your wife and your children were there.
Yeah.
And when I saw a little girl running around in a sparkly jacket, I go, well, that's Dan's daughter right
oh,
there.
Yes.
Yep. I knew immediately who that was. And
yes.
I was like, I love when I see little kids who are unencumbered by the world. Like, some kids can grow up like real, like, you know, they grow up afraid to
explore.
I grew up afraid to break rules. I would not get in trouble. So I didn't do that. So when I see kids who are running around in sparkly shirts and being themselves and having fun, I'm like, good. Yes, we need that child to turn into a great adult and make other people around her awesome.
No pressure.
Absolutely.
No
yeah.
pressure.
Yeah,
Dad.
No pressure.
And that's nothing against your other child either, because I love the I love the
they really balance
the
each other out.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
a yin and yang thing. It's
yeah.
it's a lot of fun.
Nice comment on the text line, Chris Alfine from Appleton, listening in Oshkosh and WISS. I love Dan Schaefer. I'm just saying.
Dan we Schaefer brings joy.
Thank you, State Senator Alfine.
We love Dan Schaefer too. One of the things we wanted to share that is pretty darn joyful was the winner last night of the Scripps National Spelling Bee Contest.
100th.
100th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Spelling Bee Contest. We have a clip from the winner and the winning word. Calvin, if you want to play that, please.
Now, let's all of us take a deep breath.
Yes. This is the moderator.
And let's... I did not help at all.
Bro.
And smile.
Well, a certain pacing would help to follow.
Yeah.
Okay.
What a killjoy.
So energetic.
Your word is éclaircissement.
Éclaircissement. Éclaircissement. Éclaircissement.
That is correct.
Drops to the floor.
He literally drops to the floor.
And there was no use it in a sentence. There was no origin of the word. It was he got his eyes lit up. He knew the word. He knew how to spell it. And when he hits that E going into the M-E-N-T, he just can't. He's got to keep it together. And he wins. And like he just I don't know, like, that did not help at all. Breathing. I've been studying for this thing all year. And he just I love how the moderator just can't. Yeah. Compute.
He just crushed it.
I loved it.
It was fantastic. He actually won $52,500 for that.
That's a very specific amount of money.
But he was also he was interviewed afterwards and asked what he would do with that. And he said, look, he said, I'm a pretty lucky kid. I would like to give this money to some charities for kids who aren't as lucky as me.
Oh my God.
I know. I
Greg's
know.
Turning
right?
into a puddle here in the studio.
But we're going to include that. We'll include that clip in our show notes.
Already done.
Oh, so you can take a look at that and see his big win.
Oh, my God.
These kids are so impressive. I like to think that I'm a word snob. I have never heard of the word that he spelled. I didn't even know that was a thing.
I know the word éclair massonant. It's a very common word amongst the people at the club. We say, excuse me, I'd like another éclair massonant. That's French.
And that's also how you say it.
Exactly.
Too.
It's French for a big pile of eclairs. Get on board. Get the robe. Get the slippers. We're in Audio Survey right now.
855-752-4842. Where are you finding your little bits of joy these days? It's really important that we find those moments. John from Oshkosh, listening on WISS. Same, Dan. I have two girls, and they sound similar to how you describe yours. As much as they give me gray hair, seeing them learn and experience life brings me joy all the time.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
I've got a few extra gray beard hairs after spending, dragging my daughters around the airport, though.
Yeah,
too.
And they're little yet. Just wait. You got more gray coming.
Yeah, adorable, Dan. Adorable.
Liz from Saukville says, playing with our cats while listening to my very talented husband play guitar.
Nice. Jane, where do you find your joy?
I recently, you know, I spend time in the garden.
Yes.
Which I have a love-hate relationship with my garden because now I'm very excited about it and everything is growing and all my flower pots are full and I check on them every day. And then by the end of August, it's like, get your moisture out of the air. You're on your own.
Yeah. I've raised you enough.
Be a little independent, okay? But I was out the other day and we have a new hummingbird.
Yeah, you were mentioning that. And you were excited.
I'm very excited about this. This is a different hummingbird than the one we had last year. I can tell because he's much smaller and he sits on the feeder. He actually perches on the feeder.
What does the other one
do? And so you do the specific hummingbird feeder, and that's how you...
Well, you have to have feeders for hummingbirds. Yeah. They will come to flowers, but if you really want to attract them, get a hum. That makes me so... And now I name him.
What's his name?
His name is Whistler.
Whistler
the hummingbird.
Whistler, who's a listener, is going to be like, thank you, Jane. Thank you, Jane.
It makes me happy. So I will sit out in the backyard and I'll read and he'll come around and I always try and catch pictures of him, which is impossible because they move too fast. But it makes me really happy. So if I'm having a crappy day or I'm grouchy or whatever, I go outside and I sit in the yard for half an hour and take a breath.
I mean, that's paramount in life. It's just finding that those little nuggets of joy. And so we want to know from everyone listening and watching on the live stream, what brings you joy? Leave a comment on the live stream. You can text us. You can call us. You can leave a voice note through the Civic Media
app.
All
kinds of options.
But yeah, we want to know what brings you joy. Kelvin, what is bringing you joy?
Other than obviously producing for this program.
Yeah, other than hanging out with us 5 days a week. My God,
listening to Jane and Greg for 10 hours a week. That's
our voices are dulcet and in hypnotic.
I'm not sure that I have one right off this top of my head right this moment. I've been reading comic books a lot lately.
Yes.
I guess that.
There you go.
Hey, that's all right. I mean, and the good thing about this is you don't have to qualify this.
No.
You don't have to explain it. It's just what brings you joy. Mm-hmm. What brings you that little bit of joy? There's no judgment. Can be anything.
Yeah.
I have another one for you.
Okay.
Greg, I know you of course love comedy, love live comedy. Yeah, Laughing Tap, all of that. Have you been watching John Mulaney's show on Netflix at all?
I have been watching it. I will say that it's not hitting me, I feel like, the way I want it to hit me, because I love John Mulaney. I really do. But I guess I watched the first two episodes and it still feels kind of janky.
Yeah.
And I want it to be a show rather than just like 8 episodes. But I love his monologues because he is definitely designed to be a late night host.
Yeah.
Although I never want him to be one because I don't want to be limited by that medium. But I really love he is a guy who is a little bit younger than me, who was born to be in the 50s. Like, he's meant to be like a Las Vegas comic opening up for Sammy Davis Jr. He's got that vibe about him that's just very old school. Knows more about musicals than any 10 actors I know. It's awesome.
We're going to take a call here quick. Ollie from the Northwoods is on the line. Ollie, we're talking about where you find your little bits of joy. What did you want to share with us?
Well, my little bit of joy is because of health issues, I'm pretty much homebound. And finding the Civics Media radio station on my old-fashioned radio and being able to call in gives me great joy every day.
Oh, Ollie, you are so sweet. Thank you so much. We really appreciate that. If you would like to join us and share your little bit of joy, 855-752-4842. There is no wrong answer.
I think I interrupted you, though. You said, like, what is the joy you find from that show? Is it the show itself?
The show itself, I think the show itself, they had its the season finale this week.
Okay,
Where John Mulaney famously, as a bit that he was talking about the whole season, basically, was going to fight three 14-year-old boys live on TV.
He's going to lose.
And he lost.
He did lose.
He lost.
And it was just like so funny. And like Mulaney was recently on Conan O'Brien's Mark Twain Prize and talking about how he is Conan's biggest fan and all of that. And he was on Conan's podcast recently and talking about how comedy doesn't always need to be about something. Mm-hmm. It can just be silly.
Yes.
And that's what that show is. And that's what's bringing me joy in watching the John Mulaney Netflix live show is that it doesn't have to be about anything. It just can be really dumb and funny.
Subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. It is fantastic in a multi-award winner, Dan Schaefer. Thank you so very much.
Thanks for having me.
We will see you next week. Stay with us. We're going to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Get Off My Lawn Edition. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New York City Mayor Eric Adams had his bribery and corruption charges dropped by the U.S. Department of Justice under questionable circumstances in April. Because of those charges, the New York City Campaign Finance Board denied Adams matching campaign funds. Adams is now suing to get those funds. Mayor Adams was accused last December by the Biden DOJ with taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He was also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal those transactions. We reported in February that the DOJ dropped bribery and corruption charges against Adams after Adams visited Trump at Mar-a-Lago. An apparent Trump directive to drop the charges to the DOJ's Southern District of New York resulted in the resignations of 7 experienced prosecutors. As a result of the corruption charges and paperwork omissions, the New York Campaign Finance Board denied Adams $4 million in matching funds for his campaign from the state's taxpayer-funded campaign finance option. Now that the charges have been dropped, Politico reports that Adams is now suing the board to recover $3.4 million of those denied funds. The Campaign Finance Board will reportedly revisit Adams' eligibility for funding in July. Find our past reports on Adams at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text, or leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, still got about 7 minutes to text in the word swing, S-W-I-N-G, via the Civic Media app. Text in the word swing, S-W-I-N-G, and you are in the running for a four-pack of tickets to see the Milwaukee Brewers when they host San Diego on Saturday, June 7th, a week from tomorrow.
Nice.
Week from tomorrow. This is a statewide text to win free ticket Friday contest. So again, you got a couple minutes left. Text in the word swing, S-W-I-N-G, and good luck. Coming up on Monday, it's June.
No, it's not. You're wrong. Fake news.
It is June.
Jane, you're wrong.
Coming up on Monday, on the first Monday of every month, we try to go beyond the cheese.
Darn right.
With a business outside of the dairy industry. On Monday, we are set to talk to McLaughlin and Hayes. I love this store so much. It's on Kinnickinnick in Milwaukee, and they make hats.
It's a
haberdasher and a milliner.
Yes.
So they make hats for men and women, bespoke hats for men and women. They're fantastic.
The gentleman who's the part owner used to be a client, the client at the barbershop I used to work at, and he'd always have the finest hats. And I've watched videos on how they make these. And
oh, it's a long process.
Involved and artistic and good Lord, my goodness.
Yeah. So join us Monday for Beyond the Cheese in hour number two. Also on Monday, Rick Reed is the economics professor that we have spoken to before. Mm-hmm. We are going to talk about America's credit downgrade and what that means for all of us as Americans. Right now, though, Calvin, it is getting late. 10:54. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This from the BBC, Francesca Gillette, with the byline. The headline reads, "Man in Norway wakes to find huge container ship in garden." Oh, there's a video that goes along with this that will be in the show notes. You need to see this.
Just the picture alone.
A man in Norway woke up to find a huge container ship had run aground and crashed into his front garden. The 443-foot ship missed Johan Hellberg's house by just a couple of feet. Missed it. Mr. Hellberg was alerted to the commotion by his panicked neighbor, who had been watching the ship as it was heading straight for shore. The doorbell rang at a time of day when I don't like to open it. I went to the window and was quite astonished to see a big ship. I had to bend my neck to see the top of it. It was so unreal. 5 meters further south, and it would have crashed into his bedroom. This is a huge container ship.
Yep.
One of those big monsters.
This would have done irreparable damage and caused injury and
death.
The picture alone. And what's his name again?
His name is
Johan
Hellberg.
I don't really think it gets much more Norwegian than that. It's going to have the little lightning bolt through the O's there. And I mean, Johan Hellberg.
The Cypriot-flagged cargo ship had 16 people on board. They were traveling southwest when it went off course. No one was hurt in the incident. Unknown what caused the crash. Norwegian police are investigating. Johan Hellberg says it's a very bulky new neighbor, but it will soon go away. The head of the company that owns this ship says, "At present time, we do not know what caused the incident. We are awaiting the conclusion of an ongoing investigation. The ship had previously run aground in 2023, but got free under its own power. It's not going anywhere." That looks like the Milwaukee boat now.
I mean, honestly, Jane, I think by laws of property and whatnot, the boat belongs to Johan Hellberg. Hellberg.
It's his now.
Everything on there is his. Leave it there. Leave the keys. It's Johan's now.
He can turn it into a nice hotel.
A great hotel. What a conversation starter.
But you need to look at the video and see the picture. Again, he's got this. It looks like a little two-bedroom house. Mm-hmm. With this gigundo ship just ran, and how he didn't hear this.
Well, he had things to do. He's probably listening to
I think it happened in the middle of the night, but still, you would think you would hear this big ship coming 5 feet within your bedroom. I don't know. But take a look at it. You can always find the show notes at civicmedia.us. Go to the top, click on shows, and go to Matt and Air on Air. Greg does a great job of including articles that we've talked about and other things that we've talked about throughout the show. So check that out today. Calvin, that wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As we said, we have a busy Monday show coming up for you. If you ever have a suggestion, by the way, for a Beyond the Cheese guest, if you know someone who has a business outside of the dairy industry that you think would be great for us to highlight, please let us know.
Yeah.
You can always contact us at janesays@civicmedia.us. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It really means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend, even if it's just a teensy little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it here. News is coming up next on the vast, statewide, countrywide, we're global if you have the app, baby, Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you on Monday.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief, new ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court.
What we see here is a win for the Trump administration on their immigration steps by stripping 500,000 migrants of their legal status.
Legal analyst Lori Levinson, earlier the court did the same for 350,000 Venezuelan migrants. President Trump says Elon Musk will join him in the Oval Office later today as Musk departs D.C. CBS's Olivia Rinaldi.
The White House says the work of DOGE will continue. It was created by executive order and it's set to expire in July of 2026.
On social media, Trump accused China today of violating a deal with the U.S. to mutually roll back tariffs and trade restrictions for critical minerals. CBS's Vladimir Duthier on some new polling numbers.
New CBS News polling reveals 72% of Americans say they feel concerned about their personal finances lately, while a majority of Americans expect the U.S. economy to be slowing or in a recession.
CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kaif.